Friends, I have already made the first of my New Year's resolutions. I may even act on it before the end of the year. My resolution is that I am giving up once and for all, no going back, cable television. I know this is nothing special. In fact, I understand that I think I'm part of the trailing end of a trend. This is already a thing, cutting the cord, as it's called. I don't care. I'm doing it for my own health. The problem is, I don't have a casual or healthy relationship with the news. I have something closer to an addictive relationship with the news. It has gotten better as I've gotten older, but not much. I don't just read the news. I consume the news. I have a kind of desperate need to feel that I am on top of what's going on in the world. I am the guy who can stand in the middle of Times Square for hours just watching the headlines go by on the news zipper. Probably this is a way of compensating for how inconsequential I ultimately am. I need to feel important, and therefore I regard myself as a person who must be informed so that others will think I am important too. Maybe that's it. I don't know. But what has really pushed me over the edge once and for all is breaking news. Breaking news is what used to be the exceptional moment in news history. It was when, remember, Walter Cronkite was handed a piece of paper by an unseen person as he read the news from the desk. It was when we interrupt this program to bring you a special bulletin. I have noticed now that whenever I tune in to CNN these days, it's never just news. It's always breaking news. And that totally sucks me right in. Nothing is ever just new facts in the world being communicated in a rational way to me. It's always breathless, always urgent, always breaking news. I'm not kidding. I once counted Wolf Blitzer saying the phrase breaking news 12 times in 10 minutes. And of course, this was all the more true this past week after the terrible events in California. It is the urgency that captures us. We can ignore peril, we can ignore trouble, we can even ignore disaster, but for some reason, we cannot easily set aside urgency. It cuts through all our defenses. It grabs us by the collar and shakes us until we pay attention. And don't you just know it? Usually it gets our attention. Urgency works. The story of John the Baptist is often distilled down to the matter of his unusual costume. A man so in a hurry to get out his message that he dresses in camel skin with a belt of leather. Or his proto-prophet diet of locusts and wild honey. John the Baptist is the New Testament's feral creature. We also know him as Jesus' son, as a prophet who goes around quoting the messianic language of the prophets of old. A man who calls people to confront themselves and make an act of repentance by coming to the waters of the Jordan River and being baptized. But we miss something important in the story of John by overlooking this simple, basic fact. He is absolutely determined to get his message out, and he feels urgently about getting people to understand what is happening. John the Baptist is the Wolf Blitzer of the New Testament. He is the man with the breaking news. It's one thing to have news that you can't wait to share. It's another to share it with such force, such emphasis, such immediacy as to get people to listen. We go through our lives these days with people yelling at us in one way or another all the time just to get our attention. But occasionally, from time to time, one of those messages breaks through all of the rest of the noise and becomes a signal, a clear signal, a clarion call. That is what John the Baptist does then and now. So there are two dimensions to our hearing John the Baptist as an example of just that kind of urgent message in this season of our expectation. The first is simply that his message still gets our attention. It gets our attention because despite all of our advantages, despite all of our progress, despite all of our wealth and our power and our creature comforts, we are no less eager for good news than were the people of John's day. The people of Judea and Galilee, the people of Iturea and Trachonitis and Abilene are no different from the people of Newton and Waltham and Damascus and San Bernardino and Colorado Springs. They are desperate for good news. Real good news. Gospel news. News of God's acting to set the world back to rights. The second is that now, all of those years later, in the midst of our own present troubles and tribulations, we are not meant to be just the listeners. We are meant to be the proclaimers. We are the ones who now have news to share. We are the ones who have found purpose and promise, affirmation and acceptance, reconciliation and forgiveness. That is our news. We have found the capacity for grace in this community and in ourselves, not because we've earned it, but because God, we have learned, keeps promises and has kept covenant with us. So yes, God knows we need good news. But God also knows that we have good news. And what is more, dear friends, to many of the people desperate for hope, eager for a ray of light, we are good news. We are the living body of Christ, the working hands of a loving God, the lived experience of a community sustained by the sacrament and pointed toward the future with faith. It is not just that Christmas is coming. It is that God is still here, still working through us to bring that message of reconciliation, of hope, of the law of love, and the power of forgiveness, still offering the means of grace and the hope of glory. Amen.